Mishnas Merama Rabban Rabbi Sai. I'm coming at the tail end of this event, so I assume that this has been expressed before, but I feel that I would be remiss if I didn't express it myself, and that is the tremendous Yashar Koyach that is due to Rabbi Ariel Sadlin. This organization, as been mentioned, is 15 years old. We know that only the Ribbono Shel'Olam can create Yesh Me'ayin, ex nihilo. But what comes close to that feat is what Rabbi Ariel has done with the Aguda of Maryland in 15 years. You know, we Marylanders, especially us Baltimoreans, we have an inferiority complex, and we sometimes sell ourselves short. What can we do? What can we accomplish? You know, such an organization belongs to states like New York, Illinois, but here in Maryland, and a good of Maryland, to lobby for what we need in the community, this was, a dream, a chalom. And Rabbi Ariel and his staff and his devoted board of directors have created it, and therefore they owe a tremendous hakaras hatov. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Most of what they do is not publicized, and therefore Yashar Kochachem, tisku l'mitzvos, and you should be able to do this for many years to come. You know, kinusim and asifus in the 9 days are generally devoted to inyanim of bein adam l'chaveray. And the reason for that is because we all know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of aver sinas chinam. So this is the time of year for us to concentrate on inyanim bein adam l'chaveray. And therefore it would seem somewhat strange or incongruous that you talk about business halacha in the 9 days. What does it have to do with the 9 days? But I think that there is a logic and a connection between the 9 days and the concept of honesty and ehrlichkeit in business. I want to quote you a few lines from the Smag. In Mitzvah Lamed Dalet, the Smag and Sefer Mitzvah HaGodol, written by the Sarmi Kutzi, who lived in the 1200s. And the Smag writes as follows: Ata Sheheri HaGolas Yeser Midai. In the 1200s, he's saying the Golas is so long. That's 800 years ago. Yesh Li Yisrael Havdil Mehavle HaOilam. We have to be different than the Umas Ha'olam and their Shtusim, and we have to go ahead and grasp on to the Chesamei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Emes. Chesamei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the signature Mida of the Ribbono Shel Olam is Emes. It doesn't say Rachamim, it doesn't say Chesed. And therefore, Zachta Smag Shloila Shaker Lo Yisrael Beloila Goyim, and not to lie, not to Jews and not to non-Jews, Beloila Hataisum B'Shum Inyan, and not to trick them in any way whatsoever. Now listen to these words: Ukeshiyava Yakadosh Baruch Hu LaHayishiyam, and when the Ribbono Shel Olam will come, and I'll bring the Mashiach, and I'll be saved. Yoimu HaGoyim. The non-Jews will say, Bedin Asa. Ben Hashem knows what he's doing. This is right. Ki heim anche emes. Because Jews are honest people. Avol miyisnagu HaGoyim. Beramos. But if they're going to go ahead, and when we deal with the non-Jewish world, it's going to be with thievery and cheating. Listen to the Smag. Yoimru. The goyim will say, Ma'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu Shebochar Lechelkai Ganovim V'ramoyim. What did the Rebbeinu Shlom do? This is his nation? A bunch of crooks? A bunch of cheaters? The guy will say, what was God thinking? This is his people? This is the Yom Nivhar? This is the chosen people? What did God do? What the Smag is in effect saying is, in order for us to be zeichet to the Geula, we have to be in that type of situation where the Goyim will say, B'din Asa, et Ketan Richtig, he did right. But if we don't live up to that standard, the Smag is in effect saying, the Geula is not going to come. And that's why it's highly appropriate to have this kinus and this convention in the Anai days. You know, we're all familiar with the concept, the overriding theme of Sefer Bereishis is Maisa of the Simim Abonim. Everything that happened to the Aves is a forerunner of what's going to happen to us. The kunces is to go ahead and to see in some of the things that are not so obvious. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, Avram went down to Mitzrayim, we're going to go down to Mitzrayim. All the things that happened, some are obvious, but some are more nuanced. And here I think is an example of a subtle Maisa v'Simim Abonim. Yaakov Avinu goes into Golis to Lavan for 20 years. And then he comes back. He comes back to Eretz Yisrael. That's a Maisa v'Simim Abonim. Yaakov goes to Golis and he comes back. And when he comes back, he makes a speech, a soliloquy, if you will. I always find this to be one of the most moving parashiyos in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu says, Zeh'asim shana anechi imach, Lavan, I've been with you for 20 years. Rechilecha mizecha leishkolti, ve'leitzaincha leachalti. I didn't take a thing from you. I didn't take as much as a sheep from you. And you cheated me left and right. You're a gaff. You're a crook. And therefore, one would be tempted, how do you deal with the crook? You are, you become a crook, but not Yankiv. I was out there in the fields, winter and summer, in the cold and in the heat. And I never did anything dishonest to you. Zeli Yasim Shana Vitzecha of Avti Habra Sve Shana Bishnev Nosecha Vishesh Shani Bitsenecha Hatechlaf Mas Maskurti Aseres Mainim. And you kept on cheating me and changing the deal. And I was Erlich. Maybe you, but not me. That's the speech that Yankov Avinu gives when he comes back from Golis. And that's the speech we're going to have to make. Now we have to ask ourselves, are we capable of making that speech? That we've been in Golis for 2,000 years, but we were always Erlich? Sometimes we have to wonder. Thank you. I made a bracha before. We all know the Gemara tells us in Saita that in the period of the Ikmus of the Mashiach, days before the coming of the Mashiach, The Mishnah says, "Va'emes tehein ne'avderes." Truth will be lacking. But it is much more deep than that in our day. You know, Rav Hutna Zatzal, Kedarka Bakedish, once said a zog, one of his pithy statements, to define our day and our time. Rav Hutna said, it used to be if a person would say, if I can say the truth, then why should I lie? But Rav Hutna said, today it's the opposite. If I can get away with lying, then why should I say the truth? That's our era. These are the times that we live in. The Wall Street Journal reports that 40% of all resumes have sheker in them, in the entire business world. We find that people, journalists, respected newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, there's plagiarism. People lie, they cheat. Remember that scandal that happened a couple of years ago with rich people trying to get their kids into prestigious schools and bribing people? That never happened before. At least not that I know of. But you got to get your kid into Harvard or Yale or Stanford. So you do whatever it takes. You bribe the water polo coach and your kid never picked up a polo stick in their life. Who cares? As long as you get in. That's our day and age. And sheker is rampant. And that's what the smog is talking about. That we're supposed to be pious and separate ourselves from the havli ha'olam, the shtuyot of the world. There's another thing that we have to protect besides the reputation of the Jewish people and the reputation, kaviyochol, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara says in Masechta Seicha, Arba kitos ein mekablin penei hashchina. Four groups of people that won't be mekabel penei hashchina. What are they? Kat leitzonim, kat chanofim, kat mesabri loshen hara, and kat shakmonim. Liars. They're not going to be mekabel penei hashchina. That means a person can do everything. He can learn daf yomi, he can daven shachris, daven, he put on Rabbi Thomas tefillin, go to the mikveh every day. But there's a lien there? He's a liar? And a mekabel penei hashchina. You know, the Rabbeinu Yoina writes in the Shari Tshuva, and he talks about sheker. And listen to his take on sheker. Mishemate eschaveir lemor ki osa ima toivo oi diber toiv olov. Omer Rabbi Sina zichwene levrocha osa lig mevdas habriri safilu daiter shalai vichichov. Gnein is das. You know what that means? Gnein is das is I go into a furniture store and the person spends time with me and say, can I just have the item number of this couch? And you go ahead and you take the item number and then you get for some Hamish place 20% cheaper. That's gnein is das. Das. There's no money, you're not cheating, you're not taking anybody's money. Zachter Rabbeinu Yoina. V'hinei achit hazeh chomer eitzel chachmi Yisrael yaisim gezel nachri. There's a machoikis where the gezel akum is mutter asur, but genev is das afil daitish levi kachovim. Listen to his words. Zokta ben ayayna yan uviyan shesfas sheker ashma rabba. Saying things that aren't true. When is chay avnu al gidrei ho'emes, Zokta Rabbeinu Yoina, ki hum yisoidei ha-nefesh. It's fundamentals of our soul. We have something called a nefesh, we have something called a neshama. It's chelek lokam imal. Comes from the Kisei HaKovid. It's the closest we come to the Ribbono Shlom. Our neshama, our nefesh. And Rabbi Yaini says, when you lie, you do something to your neshama. You corrupt it. In Lachar Me'avayasir, we're going to go to the Ribbono Shlom. And we're going to see our neshamas. And he's going to say to them, what on earth did you do to my neshama? You corrupted it, you poisoned it. Because of sheker. It has a corrosive effect. It's plaguing the neshama. And one day we're going to have to return that. It's like you rent a car. You return it. In the meantime, you spill coffee over the front seat and you have every potato chip bag from here to New Jersey strewn over the thing. And the rental car said, what did you do to my car? Lavdil. What did you do to my neshama? Thank you very much. And that is why Gedolei Yisrael were so makbid on the slightest deviation from truth, even the most subtle of forms. The Chofetz Chaim wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he had to apply for a passport, a visa. So the visa wanted to say, what do you do? The Chofetz Chaim said, well, what is he? He's a rabbi. The only problem is he wasn't a rabbi. He never had smicha. So he went to Reb Chaim Eiser, asked Reb Chaim Eiser to give him smicha, which he did, without a bechira, I may add. I can't run down a rabbi. I don't have smichas chachamim. Look in the phone book, how many people, there are more rabbis in this town than Balabat. Rabbi Yobian Zatzal was a Bal Musaf on the Yom Naroyim. As we all know, the Chazan gets up before Musaf and he says, Hinini Ani Mimas, Nirash, the Nivchad, Mipachad, Yeshev Tehilais Yisrael. Rav Eliyahu Pian refused to say Nirash V'Nivchad because it wasn't endless. At least he didn't think it was endless. So he didn't want to say words that weren't endless. Rav Yankiv Kamenetsky Zatzal didn't eat gebrochts on Pesach. Now, Rav Yankiv Kamenetsky was the quintessential Litvak. And everybody knows Litvaks eat gebrochts on Pesach. So why didn't Rav Yankiv eat gebrochts? So Maisa Shahoya Kachoya, he was a bocher in Slabodka. Nobody went home for Pesach. They put every bocher by a different family. And Rabbi Yankiv had doubts about the zahiris, the kashrus of this particular family. So he can't say to them, no, I'm not coming, I don't trust your kashrus. But he said to them, do you eat gebrachts? He says, of course. He said, I don't eat gebrachts. And because of that, for the rest of his life, he didn't eat gebrachts. No kneglach, a ganze Pesach, a ganze leben. Because he made the statement under the circumstances, I don't eat gebrachts. That's why his sefer is called Emes L'Yachiv. The emes is that it's Rabbi Yaakov L'Shitasai. He was once asked a shaila by a moysid that hired a new Rebbe. But he hadn't started work yet. And for some reason, the school wanted to back out of the deal and say to the Rebbe, well, we don't need you. They went to Rabbi Yaakov and they said, can we say that? Can we withdraw from the deal? And said, how can you say that? You gave your word, you're hiring him. And Rabbi Yaakov Steltzu, a very interesting chiddush. The Ramban al Torah asks Akasha, how could Yaakov Avinu marry two achias? How did he marry two sisters? Rachel and Leah were sisters. That's an erva, that's arayas. That's the Ramban's kasha. So listen to this. Rabbi Yaakov says, that's no kasha. You know why he married two sisters? Because he said he would. And if you give your word, you got to keep it. Keeping Kol HaTorah Kula before it was given is a chumrah. Saying the emes is a chiyuv. You gave your word. So then what's the Ramban's kasha? Ramban made a mistake? So the Ramban's problem is, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam put in him that situation? But what was the issue to do? Of course he had to marry them. He said he was going to marry both of them. End of discussion. There's another precious commodity besides our reputation, besides our neshamas, that we have to protect. And that is our children. Now everyone is looking for the silver bullet, the magic formula of how to raise good children. I hate to break it to you, but there's no silver bullet, there's no magic formula. But there's something that's close to that formula. And it's not a secret at all. Raise honest children. Raise Erlecha children. Erlecha children are good children. The Shalom HaKadosh writes, Klal Gadol Yir La'av HaMiyasa B'nai. You have to be very careful. You want to make sure that your child is going in the straight path. Try your hardest to go ahead and to teach him erlach and honesty. Rishmul Kamnetsky once said that Rabbi Yaakov, his father, would only give his children patch if they said a sheker. That was the inviolate aveira for him. I don't know how many of you read Mishpocha magazine, but this past week, they have these questions in Mishpocha magazine. They ask three people, what's their opinion about a certain question? And the answers vary. Yes, no, with conditions. This week's question was, is it all right to tell your kid to lie on an application, an tuition application, or to tell your kid when you're going into an amusement park, tell the person you're less than 5 years old? Thank God the three panelists were all unanimous. Of course it's us, sir. Teaching kids to lie? Are you crazy? The Pasuk says in Bereishis, Vayelech Ruvein b'meikatz Yerchitim. The story when he went ahead and bought the mandrake, the dudoyim. So the Midrash comments on this. The Midrash says, Chaneich v'nar al pidarkai. That story of Reuven going ahead and picking up those flowers, whatever they were, that's an example of Chaneich v'nar al pidarkai. What's the pshat in that Midrash? What does that have to do with Chaneich v'nar al pidarkai? The answer is because Reuven only went b'mei ktzir chitim because then things were hefker. And those dudoyim were hefker, and therefore he could take them. Because it would be honest and be stealing if they belonged to somebody else. That was the hallmark of Shevet Reuven. Zahiris and Gezel. And therefore, hundreds of years later, like we learned in last week's parsha, when Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, we want to go ahead and we want to live Be'er Aryadin because we have flocks. You know why they were worried? Because in Be'er Aryadin they could have the field to themselves and their cattle wouldn't eat gezel because thus it given from my tata. That's the Kabbalah I have from my father. Erlochkeit, Zahiris and Gezel. If there's one person in recent memory who is the paradigm and personified honesty, it was Rapam Zatzal. Rapam once said a very interesting thing. He says he never heard his mother say the word sheker. And when something wouldn't be true, she would say, Er macht a pose. He's making a mistake. Or, es ist nicht emes. But he never heard the word sheker come out of his mother's mouth. You know why? Because sheker was a dirty word. Mizach nicht a feel of the word. That's how you have a child like Rapam. And one last thought to keep in mind. Fairly or unfairly, we're judged as a group. Most of us look basically the same, and we're readily recognized as Orthodox Jews. It is the tendency of people to judge an entire group by the actions of a single person. Aye, it's not fair, it's not right, but as aid us, that's the way it is. A Jew is a crook, a Jew cheated you, you're all a bunch of cheats. A Jew is honest with you, you know, they're honest people, they're lovely people. And that's what you have to worry about in the workplace, in the office, in the firm, in the business, whatever it is. You're a Jew. And they're going to judge all Jews by you. And I once heard from someone who worked for the State Department. This is what they teach you when you go on foreign service, is that when you go to some little country in the midst of Africa, they tell you, you may be the only American that they'll ever see in their lives. You are representing the United States of America. We're representing the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're ambassadors. It's not fair to judge a whole group by one person. Tough. That's the way it is. And here's a story that bears out this concept. How they look at us. This actually is how they look at us, Latayv. Sitting Friday afternoon at my computer, writing this speech. And a fellow named Rabbi Rodin, R-O-D-I-N, I think his first name is Aryeh, from Dallas, Texas, calls me. I never met the man in my life, but every once in a while he calls me up and gives me great stories. So he said, I'll tell you a story. He's a rabbi in Dallas. He has an assistant rabbi. His assistant rabbi happened to be in New Jersey. And as we all know, in New Jersey, you can't pump your own gas. There's only one other state like that in the Union, and that is the state of Oregon. But most of us aren't going to have to pump our gas in Oregon. But in New Jersey, we all pump our own. We can't pump our own gas. So the guy pulls up to a gas station in Jersey. You know, guy obviously looks like a Jew. And the gas station attendant tells him, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. There was a guy that came over here, one of you people. He pulled up to the gas pump and he says, I have no money. Can you come give me a gallon or two so I can get home and then I'll come back and I'll pay you the money. So the guy said, okay. And he pumped him some gas. And now, this is already, I don't know, a few days, a few weeks, a few months later, and now this rabbi pulls up to the gas station and the attendant says, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. The guy never came. Never came. So the rabbi says, here, I'll pay you. Will $50 do it? Thank you very much. Several weeks later, this rabbi reads an article somewhere of a guy in New Jersey who was arrested because of a scam. He would tell Jewish people, the guy before you didn't pay, can you pay for him? The Harris? What's the point of that story? If an Italian drives up and he says, you know, the last Italian didn't pay, will you not pay for him? Was hab ich zu tun mit einem Italiener? What do I have to do with another Italian? A black person? So what do I have to do with him? You're stupid. You're a sucker. Ayid? Ayid, I'm responsible for Kiddush Hashem. I'm responsible for Chilas Hashem. Chil Hashem. I can't let this guy go on thinking Jews are cheats. It cuts both ways. That's what we have to bear in mind every day in the workplace and wherever we have to interact with other people. Good night and have an easy fast.